So we...Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spotless, fatty as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 22, Fellows in Fashion, 13 January 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Silver Lake Tea House. This episode will feature the following segments: ever-expanding skill set, a little bit of learning, the back porch, and the front porch. This week, I heard from Lily Shop, who is Sarah from Colorado, from Kathy in Iowa, from M.E. Stitcher, who is Monica from Maine, Between Raindrops, and Laura Brownlee, who left a comment on the show blog. Thank you to everyone who has been in touch with me since the last episode, for folks who have reached out to send a personal message through Ravelry, left comments on the blog, or sent messages through Facebook. And thank you to all of the podcasters who have made a recommendation for Yarns at Yinhu on their own podcasts. Ever-expanding skill set. There has been a tremendous amount of enthusiasm for the Bulk Bins cook-along, and I have been expanding my skill set, cooking along with everyone this week. So thank you to those who have posted in the Bulk Bins cook-along Ravelry thread. You've been sharing excellent recipes, tips, and suggestions. For those of you who aren't familiar with the project, the Bulk Bins cook-along is my year-long endeavor to explore the contents of the bulk bins at my local health food store and cook with some ingredients that I don't normally purchase and that I don't have a lot of experience with cooking. Each month, I will be highlighting or spotlighting a different product, and in January, that product is lentils. I've been cooking with lentils, and other folks have been cooking along with me. There are a few ways to get involved and participate besides just listening to me wax poetic about some of the things I've tried in my own kitchen. Like I mentioned, there will be a new thread on Ravelry each month, and you're invited to share, contribute, post photographs of the dishes that you've made, ask questions, and post links to recipes. At the end of each month, I will be using a random number generator to select one lucky winner. And I've decided that the lucky winner will be the recipient of a pattern on Ravelry worth $7 or less. So you can tell me if you're the winner, what pattern you would like, and then we'll move on with the next thread and the next cook-along item. I have also made an effort to post some of my progress with the Bulk Bins cook-along on Twitter. So I have been using the hashtag BulkBinsCAL whenever I make a post with a recipe or a photo of a finished dish. If you'd like to participate on Twitter, you can use the hashtag BulkBinsCAL as well. It is a little bit embarrassing for me to admit this, but I have very little experience with cooking lentils before this month. My experience has been limited to making dal, which is an Indian dish that I serve as an appetizer on Christmas Eve each year. And the reason I encountered the dal recipe is that I was looking for vegetarian and vegan options because we have an open house here at Yinhu on Christmas Eve, and I need to serve a lot of people who have various diets. I was looking for something tasty that would be interesting to serve hot or at room temperature, and that could be enjoyed by all of my guests. And so I encountered a recipe for dal and served that with pita chips. I've been doing that for several years now. Aside from that, I have used lentils for exactly one other purpose. And that is, I have a container of lentils in my pantry that I pour into parchment paper and use when I am blind baking a pie crust. And now that I've been cooking with lentils for a week, boy, do I feel bad that I haven't been a little more adventurous experimenting with this product. Last Sunday, I tried the lentil soup recipe by Carrie Vitt. It's featured on the Deliciously Organic website. It's a terrific recipe that I highly recommend. And I made a few changes and substitutions because I did not go grocery shopping specifically for this recipe. I was more concerned with purchasing my French lentils in the bulk bins and then seeing what I could turn up from my pantry to follow a recipe more or less. So with Carrie Vitt's recipe, I replaced the sausage with pork kielbasa from Applegate Farms. And Applegate Farms has some of my favorite packaged meat and cheese products. I used frozen turkey stock left over from my Thanksgiving bird. And there were two tomato products in the recipe. I replaced both of those with a half cup of diced sun-dried tomatoes. I also added some lemon juice before serving and shaved each serving with some Parmigiano Reggiano. The lentil soup was incredibly flavorful, very filling. It reheated well, and it's just, I've been eating it for lunches all week after having it for dinner Sunday night and really enjoying it. I also made a gross miscalculation when soaking my lentils. So the recipe advises you to soak the whole green French lentils overnight in cold water and then drain before using in the recipe. And when I did that, I wasn't measuring. I just dumped the entire bag of lentils that I had purchased at the health food store into water and soaked them all overnight. And this was way too large a volume of lentils to make that much lentil soup. There are only two of us. I wasn't expecting guests. And I don't care to freeze soups very often, especially soups with beans in them or anything in the legume family, because I feel like the beans get mushy, and in reheating it, it just doesn't seem worth the effort for me. I would rather make a smaller quantity and reheat it a few times during the week until it's gone. But I didn't want to put those lentils that I had soaked on my compost bin just yet, and I didn't know how they would save in the refrigerator. So I drained them, I put them in an airtight container, and I put them in the very coldest part of my refrigerator. When I took them out 1 week later to prepare another lentil dish, they were in excellent condition. They were still firm. There wasn't a sour or off smell at all. And they were in perfect condition to use in another recipe. So if I were using lentils again, I might do that. I might buy a larger quantity, soak them overnight, and then use half in one recipe and store half for a week to make another recipe the following week. In next week's episode, I'll be talking about my experiment with barbecued lentils. It's not to be missed. Make sure you tune in. A little bit of learning. I'm going to talk about some of the research I've collected about the health benefits of lentils and a little bit of the history of lentils. The best source I've found for a lot of the information I will share is a website called The World's Healthiest Foods, whfoods.org. Lentils are legumes, along with other types of beans. However, unlike other types of beans, lentils are quick cooking and relatively easy to prepare. This makes them much more accessible for the busy home cook. Even though they may be quick cooking, they are very, very nutritious. I was astounded when I did the research finding out what were some of the nutritional properties of lentils. 1 cup of cooked lentils, which is about 230 calories, yields 89% of the daily value for folate, 62% for fiber, 36% for iron, and 35% of the recommended daily value for protein. In addition to that, there is over 20% of the recommended daily value for vitamins B1, B5, B6, zinc, and potassium. So one of the things that's often touted is that lentils are a very good source of cholesterol-lowering fiber. Because they're so high in fiber, eating them does not result in a very high spike in blood sugar levels. Lentils contain both soluble and insoluble dietary fiber. In addition to providing slow-burning carbohydrates, lentils can also increase energy by replenishing iron stores. And lentils are a great source of iron. And unlike another great source of iron, which is red meat, the iron in lentils is a better source and more easily absorbed because lentils are not rich in fat or calories. A little bit of history. Lentils are believed to have originated in Central Asia and have been consumed since prehistoric times. They are likely one of the first foods ever to be cultivated, and lentil seeds dating back 8,000 years have been found at archaeological sites in the Middle East. Lentils are mentioned in the Bible, and they have been traditionally eaten with barley and wheat, and they have long been used as a staple food by Catholics during Lent. And of course, as I mentioned in an earlier segment, in India, lentils are incredibly popular in a spiced dish called dal. Currently, the leading commercial producers of lentil are Canada, India, Turkey, China, and Syria. Some tips for preparing lentils. Lentils can be purchased both whole and split, and they take anywhere from 30 minutes to about 10 minutes to cook. If you purchase whole lentils, it is advised that you soak them overnight before cooking. Also, 2 things I found out in investigating the cooking of lentils. One is that, like when you cook beans, adding salt to the cooking liquid can inhibit, slow, or even stop the cooking process. So even though your cooking liquid continues to boil and boil, if it's heavily salted, the lentils won't really be cooking. And so you can end up with a dish that seems overcooked in some regards, especially if you have other vegetables like carrots, onion, celery. Those things might seem overcooked, and meanwhile, the lentils seem tough and undercooked. So it's best to add salt only once your lentils have reached the desired level of cooking or are nearly there in terms of doneness. Another thing I read, and I'm not sure about how effective this is, but several sources cited the fact that you can make your lentils more easily digestible if you add them to already boiling cooking liquid. as opposed to putting in your lentils, adding cold or even room temperature stock, and bringing the whole pot up to the boil. If you add them to already boiling cooking liquid, that's supposed to make them easier to digest. I did not realize that when I was making the soup last week. I can't recall whether or not the liquid was already boiling when I added the lentils. My guess is probably not. But this week, when I made another recipe, I made sure that my cooking liquid was boiling before I added the lentils. I don't know if I can tell if they're more digestible or not, but I thought that was an interesting tip. The back porch. This week I finished two projects that I have been working on for a little while. The first is Spring Foliage, a pattern by Alana Dacos in her Botanical Knits collection. I think I've mentioned that I love this collection. I would like to knit all of the patterns in it. And I've had my eye on these spring foliage mitts for quite a while. I use the recommended yarn Barocco Ultra Alpaca Light in the peat colorway, and these mitts perfectly coordinate with my Batade by Stephen West because I knit the welts in the Barocco Ultra Alpaca Light and the rest of the shawl in my handspun. As suggested by the pattern, I used US size 3 double pointed needles. And this was yet another foray into knitting cabled patterns. Alana's charts are meticulous, and what that means for me as a knitter is that I'm able to take on a greater challenge than I might otherwise consider. Because I know I can trust the pattern, I know everything is going to come out okay. Everything I need in terms of directions for new stitches and what to do with the cable stitches is included in the book or right in the pattern itself. And they came out extraordinarily well. These mitts have a great deal of depth and dimension to them because the cable stitches are not used to create cables. They're used to create these extraordinarily intricate leaf motifs on the inside of the mitt. And there's some very nice ribbed detailing on the cuffs. I made the cuffs a little bit longer than recommended, and they're very nice and stretchy. And the mitts fit very well, and it was nice working on some smooth bamboo double-pointed needles. I'm incredibly pleased with these mitts, and my only wish is that the winter weren't quite so harsh, because it's not fingerless mitts weather here in the Delaware Water Gap. It is definitely mittens and gloves kind of weather, but I will be ready for warmer temperatures. The second pattern I completed is something I've been working on for quite a while, and this was a great project to travel with me because I had the pattern memorized and I could work on it in social situations and at times when I was distracted. It is the Flickerel pattern. It's a shawl by Simone Eich of Woolwork. Or Vulvuk. I had previously completed her Icarus shawl. She has very unusual pattern construction and ideas for how shawls come together. I like them in that they're unusual, and I liked this pattern in particular because it is specifically designed to use up scraps and leftovers from other projects. There's been a lot of talk on Ravelry these days about using leftover sock yarn scraps to make different shawl patterns. And this sounds terribly exciting, except that I'm not much of a sock knitter and I don't have very much leftover sock yarn. So I liked this pattern because it's very adaptable to different kinds of yarn. I used sport, DK, and worsted weight scraps, both commercial yarn and hand-spun leftovers, to create this pattern. Each yarn is used for 4 rows, and then a new yarn is joined. It's interesting to think about use of color in this shawl, and one of the reasons I completed it instead of just making the shawl bigger and bigger and bigger, which you can do, there's no required number of repeats in the pattern, is that I stopped because I was running out of some of my lighter colored yarns. And in order to create visual interest, I really needed to think about choosing yarns with high contrast to follow one after the other. So for example, if I used a very light color, I needed to use a dark color for the next color in the pattern. And this is what creates the visual appeal of the stripes. The pattern employs linen stitch, so it goes rather slowly, especially once your rows get very long. Linen stitch requires you to alternately slip stitches and knit them, or slip stitches and purl them. This can be a little bit time intensive, but the best part of the pattern, in addition to using up the scraps, of course, the best part of the pattern is you have all of that changing of color without any weaving in ends, because one edge of the shawl is a terrific fringe that's formed by simply knotting together the ends of the new yarns and then leaving them hanging off the side. It looks really stylish and stunning, and I think you can change it up and do a lot of experimentation with the pattern depending on the kinds of yarns you use. It was also nice to remember each of the projects I had made with the yarns as I was knitting with them. And for some of the yarn, they were used on projects I made quite long ago. So it was nice to take a little bit of a trip down memory lane as I made this Flickerl shawl by Simone Eich of Wolwerk. I used US size 6 needles, and the shawl came out to be over 60 inches in its wingspan and about 16 inches deep at its widest point. The front porch. All this month, I plan to continue knitting hats for the Click for Babies project, and I have been working on knitting several sizes of the Bitsy Baby Beanie pattern by Ellen Silva. It's a great little pattern. It knits up well. I'm using double-pointed needles and some purple yarn from previous projects with a nice little coordinating green stripe. It's making a bunch of great little hats. The hats for the Click for Babies project need to be at least 50% purple. It's a great charity, and I urge you to check it out if you've never heard of it before. In addition to the Click for Babies, I am knitting for a knit along, the Amy Herzog knit along, which is the first knit along of, I'm guessing there will be quite a few, in preparation for SSK, or the Super Summer Knit Together. So this July, I will be traveling to Nashville to participate for the first time in my first knitting retreat with Laura and Leslie of the Knit Girls. I'm really excited about it, and I think part of the excitement is getting involved in some of the knit alongs and some of the chatter that's going on in preparation for the retreat. So the knit alongs, I think, will follow the theme of knitting patterns of teachers who are going to be at the retreat, and one of them is, of course, Amy Herzog. She has some fantastic sweater patterns, but so far I have not knit any sweaters. I have only crocheted sweaters. And I wasn't ready to dip into a sweater for my first knit along. So I've selected a hat pattern. It is the Fellows Cloche, a very stylish little hat that employs linen stitch. And it's a very flapper style hat, very Downton Abbey-esque, as the name Fellows Cloche implies, because it references Julian Fellowes, the creator of Downton Abbey. In terms of Downton Abbey fashion, I know that Lady Mary gets a lot of the credit and a lot of the attention, but I think Lady Edith's character is more interesting to observe in terms of the fashion and the wardrobe that happens with her character. Because she travels to London and because she is something more of a professional woman with a professional working life outside of the Abbey, her choice and the range of clothing that she wears is a little more eclectic than the wardrobes of some of the other characters. I can perfectly imagine Lady Edith donning a cloche like this one. I am knitting it from Juniper Moon Farms Moonshine, which is a wonderfully silky and luscious single ply yarn. It's in a deep teal, like a peacock color, and I'm using US size 7 circular needles. Even though it's a hat, it is pretty complicated in its design. It employs linen stitch, like I said before, and it also has a series of wraps and turns to shape the brim of the hat. This will be a challenge for me because I have not done that much with wraps and turns or picking up the wraps and knitting them into the rest of the pattern, concealing them as you go. That's something that's very new to me, and it will be a challenge. The quote this week is from Coco Chanel, who always has incredibly succinct things to say about fashion and fashion sense. "Dress shabbily, and they remember the dress. Dress impeccably, and they remember the woman."
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine.
Thanks for listening. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarns@yinhu.com. You're also invited to join the Yarns at Yinhu group on Ravelry, like the show's Facebook page, or take part in #bulkbinscal on Twitter. I'm always grateful for the ratings and reviews that listeners leave on iTunes. Music for this episode is So Wheat, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. Eat your lentils and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Just like Linda Curtis, but out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's a book, get you high, till your face is mine. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.